Chapter 4.
Regent! I startled from my place on the floor and looked down at the sleeping Shay in my lap. I wondered how best to move her if the Dino Man needed something, but he waved at me with a weak hand not to get up.
Please,
he whispered.
Stay.
Okay, I said, and then waited in stunned silence for the man to gather himself. The regent was never particularly young-seeming, especially with his younger brother to compare to, but now he seemed to have aged decades overnight. The crags in his face were more pronounced than usual, and his glacier eyes were pitted and sunken in his hollow face. He looked like death personified, and I felt my gut clench with worry again at the prospect of
dead. Wait,
Siskorn panted out in between labored breaths before he rattled out an ill-suppressed cough. He turned his head into his shoulder, and his panicked eyes darted toward the corner where his brother was now finally sleeping, regardless of his awkward position in the chair he crashed in.
Regent?
I whispered, over the wet sound in his lungs. And I could tell he was trying everything he could not to disturb the exhausted raptor man. When his tortured hacking became too much for me to just sit there, I gently nudged Shay awake so I could at least help the poor man prop himself up to ease his breathing. Shay didn't even ask questions, and was at his side in an instant with a skein of water to wet his dry throat. After a few moments of respite where Siskorn took deep breaths under Shay's murmured guidance, he finally settled back and breathed quietly for a few moments with his eyes closed. When he opened his eyes again, it was a surprise to see the clarity return to his haggard expression that had been missing since the incident with the chest of silver.
Brightwood,
Siskorn rumbled in his deep voice. Regent, is that really you? I took a seat on the edge of his bunk.
It is. But these moments of lucidity are hard won, he sighed. I'm afraid I might not have very many more of them. So, with the time I have left, I need to make a request.
My eyes darted over to the sleeping ambassador. Maybe I should...
No!
Siskorn jolted up a little, and his sharp inhale set off another round of rusty, barely audible coughs. When they didn't subside after a worrying amount of time, Shay got up and went over to her pack. The mushrooms she'd foraged for earlier were still wrapped in the soft leather cloth she had put them in. Instead of unwrapping them, she wrung the whole wrapped parcel like a wet cloth over the regent's water cup, and the thing made a squelching noise before a milky substance began to drip from it.
I was going to wait for tomorrow morning so they would be in effect most of the day, but you should drink this now so you may reclaim some rest before our journey.
Shay adjusted the pillows behind his head once more while he drank the infused liquid, but the look she sent me wasn't a good one. The regent's painful hacking stopped, but I knew it was only a temporary band-aid at best.
Dead weight,
Siskorn said again and peered at me through his scarred eye.
I can see it in your face every time the reality of my situation comes back to you. Don't deny it. You are right. I am a burden to everyone.
Regent, I attempted, but the Dino Man cut me off again.
Siskorn,
he muttered, and wiped a hand down his scaly face.
I have dishonored Tam most grievously, and do not deserve the title of Regent Lord. That will now pass along to Siskorn as much as he despises it. More debt added to my ledger, I suppose. The only thing I can do now for him is ease him of my burden when the time comes.
Shouldn't Siskorn be awake then? I asked one more time. It felt a little wrong to be discussing what was shaping up to sound like the ex-regent's last wishes.
He will not listen, even if he hears all this now, Siskorn said,
and an edge of warmth crept into his normally stoic tone as he gazed at his sleeping brother.
He will view it as losing, and he has always hated to lose.
Forgive me, Siskorn, but... what is it exactly you're asking of me? I questioned carefully. Because if it's to suggest we leave you behind, I'm not sure Ciscern'll let me.
No. He most definitely won't let you, that's for certain,
he sighed.
Hence, why there is no point in waking him. But as to your question, Brightwood, I need you to speak on my behalf when the time does come, because it will come. You and I both know I will not be able to make the journey. And Ciscern's insistence otherwise will eventually lead to the downfall of the entire party. I believe I can make it to the outpost, but I will not be leaving that final resting place.
What makes you think he'll be any more amenable to leaving you behind once we get to the outpost?
Shay asked. Shay's right. If I wouldn't be able to convince him now, I'm not sure I'll be able to at the outpost, I told him.
Chances are, you might not have to if I can reclaim my mind at the requisite time, he reasoned,
but his expression conveyed how unlikely he thought that was.
But it is not something I'm willing to put stock on. Like I said, this might be the last moment of true coherency I have left, so listen carefully. When you talk to him, you simply have to mention one thing. And one thing only. Zara. He will know what that means.
And the off chance Ciscern still won't listen to me? I prodded, as the man's eyes closed again.
He will,
he said.
You must.
The ex-regent's words faded as the man succumbed to his exhaustion. Shay and I watched him breathe for a moment, and I was relieved at the absence of that wet bronchial rattle from before. Good thinking with the mushrooms, I finally said, and I stood up from the edge of the bed while Shay removed the empty cup from Ciscorn's slackening grip.
It will last him until mid-epic if we're lucky,
the phoenix woman sighed and packed away the cup.
But it is only a guess. Amaya said the fungus has similar properties to the flycap, but is less potent. Based on his rapid deteriorating state, combined with the dampened efficacy, your guess is as good as mine.
I don't like this, Shay, I confessed in the dying light of the fire, and then went with her to the bunk across from Zoe.
That is precisely why Ciscorn has burdened you with this task, dear heart,
she said, as she took me into her arms and began playing with my hair. Nice, I snorted, and I wrapped my arms around her with my head over her heart. I knew he had a chip on his shoulder about me.
A chip? Oh, you mean he took umbrage against you,
she said, and her voice was low and warm, like the embers.
To be fair, I don't think there is a lot that met with the former regent's satisfaction, so the standards were already impossible thus.
I love when you talk like that. I rumbled and closed my eyes so I could focus on the throb of her big heart. Especially because I know you do that specifically to cheer me up.
You know me just as I know you, it seems,
she said, and the teasing lilt in her voice caused me to raise my head. She had a soft look on her face I knew matched the depths of her love, because I could feel the echo of it in the skip of my own heart when our eyes locked.
Alex, the reason Ciscorn looks to you to fulfill this task is because you hate the fact this choice has to be made regardless. The regent knows the yoke of being a true leader is making the hard decisions as well as the easy ones. And by showing Ciscorn this, in the end, you will be honoring his elder brother.
My words faltered at that, and I sighed as I put my head back down against her chest. I'm not sure I thought about it that way.
This is one of those, how do you put it, food thoughts?
Her hand resumed combing through my hair. You mean food for thought? I chuckled and squeezed us tightly together for a moment.
Yes,
she whispered, and swathed the blanket around us.
Think of it later. For now, sleep, dear heart.
I did sleep, but with the knowledge I probably wasn't going to be this comfortable again for the foreseeable future. So I was relieved Aventol seemed to have only calm oceans to show me in my dreams. And I desperately clung to this calm when we had to stop for the umpteenth time the next day, and judging by the sun, it was almost high noon. Well, high mid-epic. Unfortunately, the mushroom tea wore off by dawn, and it was steadily becoming impossible for Siskern to manage the increasing incline with the added cumbersome weight he had to carry.
"Just a little further, brother,"
the raptor man attempted to coax. But a non-verbal and near-feral Siskorn just pushed him away as he crashed down to rest on a boulder. The dino man panted harshly in strained, wheezing gales, and frothy white spittle formed at the corners of his mouth. His blue eyes were bloodshot and overly bright, and the pinpricks of his pupils threatened to disappear completely in the ocean of blue.
"This is not looking good here, Chief,"
Horace remarked under his breath, as his gold-green eyes tracked around the small clearing where we were forced to stop in this gunmetal-gray forest. I raised my face up to the sky again and felt the warm sun heat my face, but the air was growing chillier the higher we climbed.
"I know, H, but there's nothing we can do until we get to that damn outpost," I huffed.
"Maybe Siskan..." The rest of Horace's thought trailed off, however, and I clapped him on the shoulder. I knew the ambivalent look that came over his features, and I knew his thoughts had been traveling in the same direction as mine. What he chose to say instead was,
"It's getting colder, and I've noticed something else, too."
"What?" I asked, as I followed his gaze to the handful of screechers perched on some of the branches, and their bright yellow bodies were like flames among the dull broad leaves of the strange forest.
"We have an audience," the falcon man intoned, just as another screecher landed on the same branch as three others.
"And growing.
They can smell the regent's weakness."
"We need to just make it to the outpost, H," I said. "Help me think of a way to do that." I could tell by his skeptical eyebrow raise he didn't see what good it would do when we would ostensibly be in the same situation only at the outpost. But it was not my place to reveal what the ex-regent had planned. Still, my loyal second simply nodded his head and cast his eyes about for something.
"What we really need is a way for Siskern to carry Siskorn that won't have us stopping so much,"
Horace mused as he tapped his chin. "I agree," I said, as an idea tried to glue itself together in my head with what we had on hand. "Do we have any rope that isn't full of thorns? What about from soaring?"
"Old Zoe and I were able to salvage from the tethers was only enough to make one cord," he said. "The rest of them were quite frayed. It's actually a wonder more of them didn't snap like hers did. I'm still not entirely sure how we all managed to get out of that, by the way."
Maybe I'll tell you about it sometime," I said, as I eyed the fallen leaves on the ground. The forests of Terre were nothing like the ones on Nada. For starters, all the trees were various shades of gray, with thick leaves that reminded me of a cross between a rubber and a banana tree. When I picked one of the dried ones up, its rigid flexibility was durable and virtually impossible to tear. Their shiny undersides made them slippery to walk on, which was an ongoing pain as we hiked, but maybe it could actually work in our favor.
"If you're wanting to do something with that, you'd better do it now, because Siskan thinks this is almost the edge of the tree line,"
Amaya said as she precariously walked over on her boot-clad feet. It was clear she wasn't used to walking in them, and for that reason her sister seemed obliged to follow close behind in case the Oryx woman lost her footing.
"Also, Siskan is wanting to go soon,"
Anwar reported, and I peered over her head at the brothers. By the way Siskern was warily feeding sips of water to a still-panting Siskorn, it looked like neither of them wanted to go anywhere fast. "Okay, here's the plan," I announced in a voice that got everyone's attention. "We need to fashion together some type of sled out of some sturdy branches along with these leaves here. If we can make something Siskorn can lay on that can also slide over the ground, then Siskern can tow him if we can also make a harness. These leaves here are tough and slippery, so if we can sew them together, it might work."
"I still have my personal darning kit,"
Shay piped up, and she rummaged in her pack. "The rest of you spread out across the immediate area in pairs," I instructed. "We need four branches. Two should be the length of the regent, and the other two can be half that. Quickly, but not you, Ambassador. Take this time to rest a bit before we go."
"I
The raptor man blinked at me, and at first it seemed as if he wanted to protest staying put while everyone frantically went to work. But a glance at his wheezing brother had him silently acknowledging this sliver of peace for what it was.
Thank you for your action, Brightwood. I understand you were probably not expecting this to be as perilous as it has been when I asked you to come to my homeland.
Don't worry about it, Siskern, I said, and patted him on the shoulder. You're a part of this team now. He nodded again in gratitude and turned back to his brother. The smile faded from my face when I turned around and went with Horace and Ryland to search for the stuff we needed. The word Zara pounded through my head all the while. 8 people doing the job of 2 produced a vast array of branch options, and with Shay's nimble fingers fashioning the leaves together into a tarp-like piece, we had all the materials ready to craft a makeshift sled. Nemus wisely salvaged a small hand drill from the tools aboard Soaring, and he was able to bore holes for the rope to go through the branches. Then, with a small hatchet Rylan and Gelf had found back in the harbor village, we sized the shorter branches, cut them in half to make 4, and lashed them to the frame for support. By the time that was done, Shay and Jenner's nimble fingers had finished the tarp-like leaf quilt, and Shay had even cleverly sewn a hem on either side of the tarp where the long branches could slip through and create the frame of the sled. Before long, the sun was just past the apex of its ascent, but we had the regent bundled up in cloaks and strapped in with the thorn vines, which acted strangely like Velcro and kept him snug.
How does that feel?
Amaya asked the raptor man, as she adjusted the hand-woven rope harness she helped make over his chest.
Fine, very fine, he grinned. This leaves my hands free as well. We will make much haste.
Then Siskern elongated his claws slightly and dropped to all 4s, and we were off to the races. Well, not totally, given the fact that once we crossed the tree line, the wind chill slapped us all in the face, and the incline was nothing short of a near-vertical hell. But we really were making better time now that Siskern could put his energy into the climb. In fact, I was just starting to think we might be able to get the ailing ex-regent all the way to Tear like this, when a hair-raising sound echoed off the dagger-like cliffs.
What in the fresh hell is that?
I whipped my head around the wide ledge we were currently on for the source of the terrifying rumbling sound, and I drew my dual blades from the scabbard across my back.
It's coming from under the ground,
Zoe said, and she unsheathed her curved sword as well as her eyes darted from rock spire to rock spire.
Siskern,
I called out as he loosed his rock-bladed whip from his belt.
Want to tell us more about your home island? Any monsters we should be aware of?
These columns are part of a hack-chewer colony, but they tend to only come out at night, he said, as we all made a circle around Siskorn, Jenner, and Rylan.
What are hack-chewers?
Rylan asked, with the appropriate amount of dread in his voice for something named a hack-chewer.
They are a terribly invasive species with 3 curved tails equipped with venomous stingers and 4 large pincer-like claws,
the raptor man elaborated. Fabulous, I deadpanned. But we're not even sure it's hack-chewers, right? The rumbling grew louder and drowned out any potential answers to my question. Then an eruption of weird lobster-slash-scorpion things the size of house cats spewed out of the spire rocks like termites, and the speed in which they outnumbered us was terrifying. There was no time to dwell on the horrifying reality that we were now going to have to fight back the sudden horde of abominations jumping at us like those freaky jumping spiders I saw on Nat Geo.
These are definitely hack-chewers,
Siskern bellowed just before he cracked his whip at the one lunging in midair for his face. The tip of his rock-bladed whip split the creature from top to tail in a spray of neon green ooze.
Fuck,
I said, and brought up my left hand to block one of the beasts from going for my jugular with its sharp snapping pincers. They clanged off the black steel of my blade, and with the curved weapon in my other hand, I shoved the fucker off with one swipe.
Sweet!
It hissed and rolled closer to Zoe, but even though it was maimed and missing 3 of its 4 lobster claws, it still had its 3 scorpion tails that jabbed for her feet and ankles.
No!
Zoe cried, and stabbed her blade down double-handed through its back, and its terrible shrieking stopped with a wet squelch. Three more of the fuckers lunged at both of us, but each one of them were taken down in tandem by a volley of arrows, daggers, and slung rocks. Horus, Amaya, and Shay all roared out their own battle cries, and then they parted so Anwar could take center stage.
Rah!
The Ibex woman growled, and a solid orb of red energy jettisoned from her palms when she pressed the insides of her wrists together. The orb made a good-sized dent in the number of amassed hack-chewers, and the concussion blast caused them to scatter around like headless chickens. This way, it was easier to kick them apart and keep them from forming the writhing mass of confusion that would probably spell our doom.
"Everyone try to separate them!"
I shouted, and stabbed through a maw of rapidly sawing teeth. And then I kicked the squealing bug off the end of my scimitar. Another tried attaching itself to my shoulder with its lobster claws, but I clenched my hand around my weapon and bashed it between its six eyes. Another minor concussive attack from Anwar, and a few deadly cracks of Siskern's bell-ended whip, and the creatures were suddenly on the run back to their gray rock spires.
"We did it!"
Rylan shouted, and dropped the rock he was wielding. But something didn't seem right. Sure, we were just starting to push them back, but by sheer numbers alone, it was only a matter of time before they eventually got us on the back foot.
"Shh!"
I kept my head on a swivel, but then I froze when I felt something beneath my feet. It was a vibration that steadily grew stronger, and the longer I stood there, a loud rumbling could be heard to accompany it, and it sounded like it was coming down the mountain straight for us.